Welcome to Leading the Next Generation with Tim Elmore. I am your co-host, Andrew McPeak, and we are excited about this conversation today because, Tim, you and I both love movies.
Yes, we do. I love them. Every week I'm at some movie watching and eating popcorn.
Yeah, I was about to say, one of my jokes is that I'm not convinced Tim loves movies. I think Tim loves popcorn, and it's just an excuse to get popcorn.
That could be true.
We'll find out one of these days.
Yes, that's right.
But, you know, we spend a lot of our time reading and watching things and listening, and all of that is really our intentional sort of journey to figure out what is life like for the next generation and how can adults connect with them. But there are moments where we see a piece of culture, a song, a movie or something, and we say we need to dig deeper. And I think we had one of those moments when we both saw this movie Eighth Grade.
Absolutely. Yeah. So The Eighth Grade came out not too long ago.
Yeah.
You and I both saw it a few weeks ago. But I believe our audience, whether they see it in the cinema or wait for it on demand somewhere on Netflix or whatever, they need to see it. It's a great slice of the pie of an adolescent's life and what they're really going through.
Yes, I totally agree. So the movie follows an eighth grader named Kayla Day during the last week of her eighth grade year.
Yeah.
So it's a really significant transition moment. What's funny is nothing really happens. You know, there's a pool party interacts with her crush, and she does get to go actually visit high school and meet an older kid. So there's some moments definitely that happen in it, but it's really just following a day in the life in some ways, or a week in the life of what it's like to be a student today.
Yeah, and I felt like as I was watching as an older, much older adult than you, I felt like I was able to step into the gym shoes of a kid and what they're really feeling, and it was not what I felt back in the 70s, you know, when I was going through that period of time.
To be honest, it wasn't like what it was like for me in eighth grade. And that really wasn't, I mean, it wasn't that long ago.
Sure.
I'm 29, so
I
think a lot has changed, and it was such a great picture of that. So, but what I thought, I mean, always when we watch a movie and talk about it, we've got some insights and some thoughts on the next generation. I want you to be able to share those. But I'd love to start with just what stood out about this movie to us. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to hear maybe some of your thoughts. Okay. What was it that made this movie so significant?
I think for me, one thing I noticed right away was there was no CG. Mm-hmm. There was no computer graphics. There were no special effects. No rockets are going off and Darth Vader does not appear.
Yeah.
You know, it's just an everyday family.
Yeah.
Really had a dad and a daughter that are interacting. And I really love that because it was so unlike most movies you see.
Yeah, its normalcy gave it a certain weight in some ways.
Yeah, so here's a girl with acne, crooked teeth, and she's worried about being overweight.
Yeah.
It's all the things that I think happen, but we forget it happens.
Yes, yeah. And I mean, those things were true. How we dealt with those things were different, though, and I think that's the significant of this. One thing that stood out to me was the soundtrack, right?
Yeah.
There's so many different moments where the soundtrack cues, and a lot of movies you don't notice the soundtrack, and this one you really notice it because, you know, like the first time you see her crush, this like really loud, deafening music comes on, and you instantly know she's in love with this eighth grade boy, you know? Or the moment where she, you know, quote unquote, goes to bed.
Yeah.
She closes her door, turns the lights off. Only the computer screen and the phone are illuminated, and she's there for hours while the song by Enya, Sail Away, plays in the background, right?
Yeah.
Totally setting up this metaphor for exactly what happens. It's like this it's almost like she disappears into this other world.
Yeah, yeah. So I also loved the awkward dad moments.
Yeah.
You know, where in most movies, you know, it's a script you follow, dad comes in the room or whatever, and he's got a line to say. Well, in this movie, he'll open the door, and it's dead silent. Hey, you know, it's like, that's me, you know.
He knows he needs to be in there, but he doesn't know what he needs to say.
That's exactly right. And that's how parents feel sometimes.
Yeah. There were so many good interactions between the daughter and the dad that I think are just part and parcel of exactly the way parents feel, you know, where the dad's just trying to ask her how her day was, and she's like, I thought that on Wednesdays I can have phone time at dinner, you know, or whatever deal that they've come to.
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly the way it is. It's like you just want to connect, but you feel like there's this divide, and so you end up making all these compromises, but it really, like, it creates this division. So it really builds to the moment where they actually have a real, you know, interaction, and you feel that more because you've watched the struggle of him parenting the whole time.
Yeah.
So it was a really great picture of what it's like to be a kid in today's world, how a post on Instagram or her posting a YouTube video affects the way that she thinks about life or interacts with another kid the next day, and the dichotomy of those two realities, the digital life and the physical life. It was just a great picture of that.
Very much.
So as we were talking about it, I know you wrote down a couple of things that you feel like are really big insights, some that we maybe have talked about before or heard before, but were just painted in such a great reality. And then some new things that we felt like that was a great way of thinking about that or sort of encapsulating that or picturing that before. Yeah. So
what went through my mind as I was watching the film was Kayla is such a picture of the paradoxes that teenagers face today.
Yeah.
You know what a paradox is? It's not two doctors. Okay. It's two realities. I just didn't know. I didn't know if you knew that.
I've never heard that joke before. Okay. I like that.
Yeah, I'm sure you haven't. Okay, anyway. So two almost contradictory realities that you think they both couldn't exist, but they both exist.
Yeah.
She was experiencing contradictory experiences all through the film.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, and it, we've seen that time and again, and you even wrote Artificial Maturity talking about all the different paradoxes that today's kids go through. Yeah. But I think they encapsulated some of these really, really well. So let's go through these. There's five of these paradoxes that you felt like you saw.
So the first paradox, Andrew, I just have it here, is teens today have it so good and yet have it so difficult. Mm. This is something I meet adults all the time on the road that don't understand. They just don't understand this. In fact, when I talk about the complexities of today's world, what social media has done to their minds, they'll go, kids have it so good today. I didn't have that when I was a kid. And I don't think they realize, yeah, they have it good for sure. We have an on-demand world. We can watch whatever we want to watch. We can eat whatever we want to eat. It's brought to our house. All these luxuries exist. However, there's all kinds of complications that have come with it. And I don't think we typically know what a 13, 14, 15-year-old kid actually is feeling in the midst of this very, very complex, almost overwhelming world. The average teenager consumes 10,000 messages a day.
Mm.
Should they? No, they shouldn't.
Yeah.
But they do. So, and now they're not all bad news, but there's enough coming at them. They're absolutely inundated and overwhelmed with what's going on. So you and I have talked about this a million times, but let me just say it on the air right now. If you track the rise in anxiety and depression in a teen's life today, it directly parallels the rise of social media.
Mm.
They're hand in hand, so much so that you can't say that's a coincidence.
Yeah.
So do we love social media? Of course we do, but it's had so many inadvertent and even, I don't know, effects that we didn't know were going to come. We didn't see it coming.
Yeah. And I would say this is probably, as we study and read and research and even sit down and talk with kids in focus groups, is this is the single greatest change between eighth grade 15 years ago and eighth grade today, which is social media is the place where your social hierarchy is defined, right? Where you figure out where you're going to fit, right? And the challenge of that is that it never ever stops.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so if you're wondering why does a kid go to bed at night, quote unquote, and pull out their phone, it's because something has happened or maybe could have happened, or maybe they feel responsible. Yeah. Like they've got to post something, and the complexities of like, okay, she commented on my post. Should I comment back on hers? And this is like the social implications that could have for you when you get to school the next day. I mean, like we're asking them to put together this sort of like complicated puzzle that really is just adolescence figuring out what it looks like in the 21st century social media environment. But I just, like, as you watch this, you realize every little thing that she does in the digital world has meaning in her physical world.
Yeah.
And she is constantly anxious about what that meaning is actually going to be.
Yeah, spot on. All right, so a second paradox that was, I thought, rather obvious was Kayla is both never alone and yet always alone.
Mm.
So you know this, it sounds rather pithy, but because of the phone, they're never really alone. There's always someone talking at them, or they're talking to somebody, or some group of thing is going on. So in one sense, you would think if they're always connected, they would never feel lonely. Not true.
Not true.
They almost always feel lonely, except for a few perhaps very, very popular kids, YouTube famous kids or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They feel this alone, and you see Kayla in this movie navigating. Even when she's at school with other kids, she feels alone.
Yes.
You go, how could this happen?
Yes.
But it's what's happening today.
Yeah, it totally is. And I mean, you know, a big piece of this is the kids need to feel like they're presenting an image on social media that is ideal or perfect,
yeah.
Right?
Yes, right.
And so you can't really ever mess up, which means that you're never truly letting anyone into your life. And there's a moment towards the end of the movie, I think you'll remember, there's sort of an awkward kid that she meets earlier in the movie, and she doesn't want to have anything to do with him because she doesn't want to be connected with this kid who doesn't fit, you know, the social norms or whatever. But there's this moment where she allows herself to spend time with this kid, to talk with this kid. And there's this moment where the kid says to her, "I'm really nervous."
Yeah.
And she looks back at him and goes, "Me too."
Yeah.
And it's like, it's the first time that it feels like she's been honest with another kid her age the entire movie. Yep. And it's this, you know, it's this really small moment, but it's also so like relieving for you as the audience member who feels like finally she's had a real conversation with somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So you're right. There's, in fact, we're going to talk more about this later, but it's this artificialness that's going on, but we pretend like it's authentic.
Mm.
It's strange. All right, so here's another paradox, and this is truly, truly, truly a paradox. You alluded to this earlier. In this movie about a week in the life of Kayla, there are virtually no dramatic moments and yet so much drama.
Yes.
This is the eighth grade. Would you not agree? I mean, period.
Totally.
So as you watch the movie, you'll be, oh, where's the villain? Where's the, you know, the robber? Where's, the, you know, whatever, the murderer or whatever? That doesn't happen. It's a typical eighth grade life. But she's navigating, discovering new things as a young teen, boys and everything else, and what they want.
Yes.
And so there's drama, drama, drama in the midst of a day that you would go as an adult. There is no drama in your life.
Yeah.
What are your 20? What are your 30? You know, and we often say that. And we go, and I need to remember. I need to remember.
Yes.
There is drama right now. They feel it, and we need to help them navigate.
Yes. It may not seem real to you, but it is real to them.
Yeah.
And even if it seems like low, low, low on the actual drama scale, it's high for them because it's the biggest thing that they've ever dealt
with.
Right. But I know a lot of adults, as they're leading kids, feel this challenge where it's like all of this drama is happening in the digital space, right? Mm-hmm. So your kid all of a sudden seems upset.
Yeah.
But you're like, nothing's happened. What's going on? Yeah. It's the same thing as you spending time with your friends and girls yelling at the other girl and your boyfriend walks by and with somebody, you know, and it's like all of this is happening on a phone screen.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't seem like it's real, or maybe it's like, why they went from fine to upset overnight, you know? It's like, what's the deal with all of this?
Yeah.
Well, so much is happening in that digital space, and every bit of it is real to them.
It's so true. I talked to a high school student recently that said something that really stopped me in my tracks, because she described the pressure or the stress you're feeling. She said, when my phone's with me, and it's with me almost all the time, I feel like someone's tapping me on the shoulder all the time.
Mm.
You just want to go, stop it. Yeah. But you don't want it to stop because you don't want to miss.
Exactly.
It's FOMO.
Yes.
But what a great, someone's tapping me on the shoulder all the time.
That would drive me crazy.
I know, me too.
Yeah, but you can't leave it alone at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's a challenge. I meet parents all the time who are like, I don't want my kid to fall into that.
Yeah.
But I also want them to be a part of social society.
Yeah, right.
So it's like, I feel like parents are just as, you know, just as, I don't know what to do with this as their kids are in some ways. So.
And you see the dad feeling that way in this
exactly,
movie.
Exactly, exactly.
Good. Number four, the fourth paradox is teens, and this has probably always been true, but teens want to be grown up and yet not grow up at the same time.
Yeah.
I have contended for years that adolescence is a very unusual and special time of life. I say this with tongue firmly planted in cheek, that kids are trying to navigate, I want the rights of adulthood, but not the responsibilities of adulthood.
Yes.
So you treat me like a child. What are you doing? You know, let me do this. But yet, if you say, well, all right, here's what comes with adulthood. Well, no, I don't want to fill the tank up with gas or whatever, you know, whatever it is. So I feel like this is what Kayla's feeling. She talks to her dad saying, you treat me like a child. Let me alone. Let me have my space. Let me have my phone at the table on this night at dinner time.
Yep.
But yet doesn't want everything that's coming with it. She's feeling the tension between the two.
And you can see that desire for growing up or adulthood or looking old, but the innate immaturity of just being the age that you are show up several times in the movie, you know, where she's, you know, she's interacting with a boy that she likes and he asks her, you know, if she's good at performing sexual acts. She's like, oh yeah, I'm great at that, you know. Then she has to go Google it later because she doesn't know what it is, right? And even once she learns what it is, she's completely disgusted and totally turns back into that eighth grader because she realized, like, I want to be seen as this adult who does adult things, but I also am not emotionally ready and I don't want anything to do with that.
When my kids were this age, 13, 14 years old, I remember thinking in my mind, I need to remember they're on an emotional swing set.
Mm.
They'll swing forward, and that day I think, oh my gosh, Bethany's ready for adulthood. She's acting like a grown-up.
Yeah.
What's come over her, you know? But then
the very next day
or the same day maybe, swinging backwards. Up, she's still a little girl and still needs me to do this for her or needs me to explain this to her.
Yeah.
So I think it's very common for teachers and parents both to feel this swing set, this emotional swing set, and I don't know if it's forward or backward this particular day.
It's a real challenge.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so the fifth and final paradox that I noted, and you probably have insights I don't have, I'm sure. I alluded to this just for a moment earlier, but I think it's a great one to close with. For teens, their life is both authentic and artificial. Now, something, Andrew, I've never heard you comment on this. I'd like you to give me your feedback, only if it's good, though. Yeah. If it's not good, don't say it.
Well, if I'm silent and just look at you, you'll know.
No. Yeah. He's not real hip with this idea. Okay, anyway. I feel like teenagers' lives are not unlike a virtual reality TV show.
Hmm.
So, you know, when you watch virtual reality or reality TV, you're Survivor or America's Got Talent, whatever it is, there is real people that are really competing for something, for sure. But so much is scripted. And I feel like a teen's life today, adults have scripted so much of their life. But yet they're living it, and it doesn't feel completely out of my control. I think we need to remember when we have tension with a teenager, it's both artificial and authentic, both. And they feel that tension, I think, inside.
They're having to go along with what the teacher tells them or the fact that I'm about to transition from eighth grade to high school. That's not my choice.
Yes.
That's a station in life that's happening to me. But she's still figuring out who she is in the midst of it.
So one thing I like, sorry to interrupt, but one thing I liked, I want to say this before I forget it because my thoughts get lonely up here. If you remember, much of the movie, she's uploading videos on YouTube.
Yes.
She's giving advice that she finds excruciatingly painful to follow herself.
Yes.
Yes. So she's now, if you're struggling with this, you know, here's this eighth grader giving advice.
Yes.
And yet you watch the movie and go, oh my gosh, Kayla, you're not doing that yourself.
Yeah. It's almost like she's summoning those things into reality for herself.
Yes. Yeah.
Like there's a really beautiful moment where she's at the pool party and she's sort of in the back, doesn't want to interact with people. She's on her phone. And then she's recalling, and it's actually going back and showing this YouTube video she's made talking about why it's important to have self-confidence and take risks.
Yeah.
And so it's so almost like she's giving herself this advice as she puts her phone down, walks into the room with all the popular kids and starts singing karaoke, you know?
Yeah,
and it is the one of the most difficult things maybe socially she's ever done. Yeah, it's the smallest thing in the world to us as adults who are watching, but it is interesting to watch her be in this social situation that's very scripted, right?
Yeah, so
the other girl's mom invited her to the pool party, not the girl.
Yeah,
so this has been planned by some adult, but she's having to figure out who she is in the midst of it. I just love that.
I do too, and it's such a picture, as I said, of reality today.
Yes, yeah.
It was good for me to just step into the, as I mentioned, the gym shoes of a kid and realize this is not as easy as I think it is. And even though I'm in my 50s now, I want to say you guys have no idea what life is really like. Well, they're getting a taste of stress sometimes that I don't have.
And in a way, they are living a life we don't understand.
That's right. Right? Absolutely.
Because there's a lot of challenges they're facing that we didn't have before. Yeah. So as you think about this movie, I know you and I watched it. We felt like would you recommend our listeners watch this movie?
I do, absolutely. Not because they think they're going to be sensationalized.
Yeah.
In fact, just the opposite. They're going to be watching real life happen, even though this was a script.
Yeah, of course.
But it's real life happening, and it was just good for me. It was sobering for me.
Yeah.
I I watched it with my wife, and I thought this was really, it was like eating broccoli. It was good for me, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it feels like, especially if you're watching your middle schooler and just really frustrated with how they're handling things, to just get a perspective, you know, from their point of view, I think it could be helpful. Yep. There's a good chance, maybe as you're listening to this, it may be out in your area or not. I know it was limited release, but I'm sure it'll be on Netflix or somewhere in the coming months, and I would really encourage you to see it. So.
Yep.
Great. Well, this has been an interesting conversation. I look forward to our continuing conversations. Whenever we see a movie that we feel like is interesting, we're going to bring it to the podcast and talk about it. So.
And next time, bring some popcorn.
That's right. I totally failed you, Tim.
You did.
I can't believe
it. I'm not saying.
You're probably like tasting it right now, talking about a movie.
In fact, I've got to go.
I love it. I love it. Hey, well, thank you for listening. We love you being a part of these conversations, and we actually really want you to be a part of the conversation. So if you've got ideas or want to share your thoughts on the movie, send us a tweet, send us an email, podcast@growingleaders.com. We'd love to hear from you. We would be really, really encouraged if you would also rate this podcast. If you feel like it's worth it to you to listen to this, rate it so that it can be seen by other people. If you haven't picked up a copy of Marching Off the Map yet, I feel like this book that we worked on, Tim, is such a great resource for people who are trying to figure out how to lead young people, whether you're a parent or teacher or coach or whoever, how to lead young people in this changing world that we live in. Yeah. So that's a really great resource that you can utilize. You can find that at marchingoffthemap.com. As always, thank you so much for being a part of this conversation. Thank you for leading the next generation well. We so believe in what you're doing because we believe in them and what they're capable of. So
absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, we'll see you next time. Thanks for being a part of it.